Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
This morning, we need to hear the word of God. There is something so powerful in coming together in a moment like this in our nation and worshiping God and putting Jesus in the center of it all and preaching the word of God and seeing him move on the back of that. So I do want to preach a word this week, and we began a new year this week. What an intense way to begin, but we began a new year and a new decade. And I really, I've got to say, I've enjoyed all the throwback photos of 10 years ago. Some of you have vastly improved in a decade. Others of you, I just want to say how great it is to grow in age. but I really, as I was looking at all those things and considering the decade that was, and I sat there on New Year's Eve and wrote down what had happened in each year in the last decade, and I'm like, my gosh, God, you're so amazing. It's really, for us personally, been a very, very big decade. Literally something huge has happened in each of those years. Maybe it's the same for you. Maybe it's been a building, just slowly piecing together decade. Maybe it's been a challenging decade. But I was really drawn this week to a story in the Bible. In fact, an entire book of the Bible dedicated to a story that really is the aftermath of 10 years of tragedy. And with the risk of throwing a very wet blanket on the surface today, and it's certainly not what I want to do, and I don't want to make an assumption that your 10 years has been really challenging. Maybe it's had challenging patches. Maybe it has been. I feel like this story really calls us and gives us principles about a new beginning and what it is to face a new decade. And really, the voice of the Holy Spirit wooing us into a brand new beginning of God's purposes. Whether it's for you, the renewal of faith, of coming back to a place of that raw faith in God, whether it's a renewal of your marriage and believing and trusting again that love can grow and that God can renew that place in your life, whether it's having faith for a brand new beginning for your purpose on this earth, whether it's expressed through your work, your parenting or whatever that is, I believe that God is actually saying, hey, it is an era for a new beginning. There is a new beginning on the horizon for God's people. And look, our nation is currently in crisis. And I want to be really sensitive this morning about how I bring the Word of God to us, because I know the Word of God can be a healing balm. We are in a time of crisis. But, you know, as I read the Word of God, far from pushing religious platitudes, I find the Word of God to be literally be the love of God wrapped up in real-time hope for times like these, for the restoration of a nation, for a new beginning, for literally there is hope for a new beginning. And so I want to read you a story this morning. And I actually really want to declare it over our nation, that it is a time whilst we navigate this current crisis that God has a new beginning for so many people affected, but for you also, that God has new things in this decade. And it really isn't contingent upon age. The Bible is not an ageist book. Isn't that beautiful to know? Literally, you can become a king at the age of 6 or 7, and you can take a mountain at 80, right? That is the nature of the Bible. It's not gender specific. It is men and women changing the world and experiencing new beginnings in their life. In fact, the story I'm about to read involves largely women. And it's not ageist either. It's not ethnocentric either. It relates and brings hope to every ethnicity, and God uses, in fact, the Bible is written across a whole range of ethnicities. That may be a surprise to some people. But God, I just know, is into new beginnings. So let me read you a story this morning. Ruth chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites, Ephraim, they're from the tribe of Ephraim, from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah, the other Ruth. After that, after they had lived there for about 10 years, a decade, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without two sons and a husband. This woman is in a world of pain. This woman's life over the last decade literally had become a train wreck. She'd lost three key family members in her immediate family. She'd lost her home of origin. She'd been through a famine. This woman had literally had just about all that life could dish up to somebody. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you've shown kindness to your dead husbands and me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." Says a lot about Naomi, really, when she has the loyalty of her daughters-in-law, the heart of her daughters-in-law, so much so that they would leave their land of origin. It actually tells us, if we read a lot between the lines about this woman, we see her in a point of grief, and her declarations aren't necessarily faith-filled. And if you're going through a hard time, sometimes, you know, it's almost like this passage makes it okay to be honest about where you're at, so long as you journey with God, right? But it says a lot about who Naomi really is. But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, daughters. I'm too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up?" I'm like, wow, you are the queen of exaggeration, Naomi. "Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it's bitter, more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." Now, that's not a statement of fact. That is an expression of where someone's heart is. That's not the word of God saying his hand had turned against her. It hadn't, as we can see from the story. But she's being very real. "This is how I feel right now." "At this, they wept aloud. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. 'Look,' said Naomi, 'your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her.' But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I'll stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God.'" Wow. What a witness Naomi had. That literally the way she'd lived her life, this girl was willing to turn from foreign gods to follow her to a foreign land to serve the land of the God of Israel, really, because of the witness of her mother, even through tragedy, mother-in-law, that is. "Where you die, I'll die, and there I'll be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her, and so the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. So we meet Naomi in the aftermath of a decade of tragedy. It really was this triple tragedy and a whole lot of other circumstances: famine, a foreign land, loss of a husband and sons. She really is at the end of herself. But here she is on the precipice of a decision. So she's just lived the most abominable decade, probably, of her life. She comes to a point of decision. She's located in a decade of tragedy, and right before her is a crossroads. Will I continue, give up hope, follow what's in my heart? Because she's told us very plainly in Scripture, "This is how I feel about my life. I am without hope. I am sorrowful. I've lost everything." Or, "I've heard that God has been good in my homeland. Will I actually turn around, return to the place of his presence, even return in the state of pain, even return in my honest point of pain, and will I go back to the place of healing in God?" Well, of course, the rest of the book, I'm not going to read it to you. In fact, I'd encourage you to read the whole book. I think it's an incredible story. But of course, history tells us, and the biblical record tells us, that she does make a decision to return. And she weeps as she's returning, and she's still in pain. The healing hasn't taken place, but she does go back. And the result of her decision is she has Ruth bring forth a son that is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So really, we are serving Jesus today because this woman at a crossroads decided, "I will not stay in a decade of pain. I will not remain in a decade that has not done me well. But at this crossroads, I will move forward in God, even in pain, and actually embrace the purposes of God." How incredible to know you are sitting here because of that crossroads. Isn't that incredible? Because Jesus came from her family line. I believe this morning the same choice applies to us. Now, you may not be in a world of pain. Our nation certainly is at the moment. But you as a believer have a choice before you as we enter this new decade. Will I remain located in what was good and bad in the past decade? Or will I continue to move forward in the purposes of God, like Naomi did, trusting that God will orchestrate an outcome, a decade that will reflect his purposes. It will affect this community, this nation, and the world in the most surprising ways. So this morning, I want to talk about how God brings beauty from ashes, how he gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, how he actually pours out the oil of joy for sadness, and how he can transform on the basis of decisions that we make by his grace, transform the decade. So if you're looking for a title this morning, let me go back and double check. Leave, return, begin again. Leave, return, begin again. There you go. Key to the points right there. Number one, leave it behind. Leave it behind. When I was learning to drive, my mum was the best teacher. Now, by that, she wasn't actually a teacher. That's why she was actually brilliant at allowing me to drive. She would jump in my 1988 Corolla Seeker with the beautiful seats, velvety, grey. They're right in vogue now. And she would just sit there and keep me great company. She wouldn't tell me what to do. She was very outgoing, very relaxed and very flexible, not very much like me. And she would just allow me to work it out for myself, which is probably a great way to learn in some respects. Maybe there was aspects that weren't completely safe about that. But I remember really clearly this one time, and I believe we were approaching Carilla, and I put a CD in, probably not a great thing for a learner driver to do. It was an era when I was into quiet retro folk music and was hanging out at Glee Books and all sorts of places. And I put my Carole King Tapestry CD in the Corolla Seeker 1988 velvet plush seats car in the CD player, and on came the songs. And before I knew it, as these songs are crooning out, my mum is singing to these songs, "I feel the earth move under my feet," word for word, right? "Where you lead, I'll follow. I'm not even going to try and sing it for you." She had a good singing voice, so I don't. "Will you still love me tomorrow?" And a whole, literally, she is singing through the set list of this CD that I put in my 1988 Corolla Seeker, and Joe's nodding, "Yep, my songs too." I had unwittingly put the songs of her youth in the CD player of my youth, right? And I've got to say, I discovered in that moment she was stuck in a moment. Now, Carole King may never go out of vogue. I believe that. Do you? But there are some things in your life that just need to end. You just actually need to leave the moment behind. There are things that God is calling us to leave in order to inherit what he has for the next decade. Literally, ways of operating, habits and thinking that suited another decade but will not suit the one to come. Attitudes that are critical, angry and unforgiving that we've developed just over the passage of time that will not actually serve the purposes of God in this new decade. Ways of relating that are bringing death. You know, girls, there is guys that are stuffing you around that really need to stay in the last decade. Guys, there are girls that you've been pursuing or toying with that you really probably just need to leave in the last decade. So you can get on with your life and pursue the purposes of God and meet the woman of God that he's destined you to be with. Pain and trauma, it's time to actually allow healing to enter your life. It may not happen in an instant, but it may be a decision at a crossroads like Naomi, where you begin to allow your heart to open to the healing of God so that your heart can bring forth life again. We can get stuck in a moment of pain, of things not working the way they should have. Naomi was absolutely stuck in that moment. You know, we hear it in her language. Her perception is twisted, that God is against me, that it's bitter for me, that there is no hope. Her pain has actually twisted her perception. But the minute she leaves Moab, the possibility and the future open up to her. You know, it's incredible. Literally, that change in location, literally a physical for her, change in location from a land of serving other gods to moving toward the provision and the grace of God was the beginning of possibility and healing for this woman. And sometimes leaving requires us to face something we possibly don't want to face. Maybe leaving and letting go of something means actually allowing something to die in order that something new can be born and spring forth in your life. And but maybe that's exactly what God is asking of you. You know, had she remained in Moab, she would have remained what she calls Mara. I am Mara. I am bitter. I am weeping. I am sad. But she moves on. She leaves even in pain, and it opens up God's possibility. Where are we stuck that God wants us to actually lay the past to bed and allow His purposes to emerge in our life? You know, I really believe that God, as we move into this new decade, is calling many not to deny what you've been through in the last decade for some of you, not to deny areas and points of pain, because we all have them. I actually don't need to look too far to go, you know, we all have points of pain in our life. But I truly believe that God is calling us to actually make a decision at the crossroads to leave it in the last decade, even in pain, to move forward and allow the healing of God to take place. The beauty of it, when we actually make that decision at that crossroads to leave, to lay it behind in the last decade, to lay it in the previous year, to actually leave and allow God to bring forth new possibility, new healing, new opportunity in our lives, God never ever allows us to leave the past season without taking the gold of it. You know, I think about the Egyptians leaving, the Israelites rather, leaving 400 years of slavery in Egypt, and they carried off the gold of that nation. You know, how incredible is our God that after a season of such pain and oppression, He would actually allow provision and gold to emerge from that season. And we see in the story of Naomi that she takes from that season of hardship, that decade of just cruel circumstances, the greatest treasure of that decade, and that is the loyalty of Ruth. And Ruth becomes the key to the next decade for her. Don't you think it's incredible that God will do that for you? I challenge you this morning that is there areas that you need to trust God in the journey out of an old season so that He will fill your hands with the gold of that season and take you into new possibility? I just want to declare over you today that God is calling you to leave some things, maybe not everything, but some things in that old decade, to have a funeral for it, to actually lay it in the past, to allow the healing of God to take place step by step in your life, and to leave that so you can move into a glorious future in God. Leave it. Second thing is make a return. Leave it behind, but don't forget to make a return. Ruth chapter 1 verse 6 says, "When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of His people," isn't it amazing how word gets around? Isn't it amazing that the goodness of God on display in the lives, in the locations of people, isn't it amazing when rumors get around that the local church has been so incredible and so kind and so generous and prayed so hard and brought so much comfort that God's goodness was on display? Don't you think it's incredible? The Bush Telegraph is an incredible thing, right? She had heard through the Bush Telegraph that the Lord had come to the aid of His people by providing food for them. She and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. You know what? Maybe Naomi never should have left in the first place. That may actually be true. Maybe there was shame attached to returning. Maybe there was shame attached. Maybe she's contemplating in her mind, but what will they think of me when I go back to that place of God's presence? Will they accept me? Will my neighborhood think I'm an idiot or a traitor? And yet she decides, because she saw the Lord's goodness, she basically decided in her heart, I want that, and I'm willing to brave the shame of a return to actually receive all that God has for me. You know, part of entering into a new decade and opening your life to the possibility of God for you may actually be making a return in some areas. Do you know that? And there's no shame attached to returning to a place of trust, provision, and grace to receive the best God has for you. You know, right now, you may think of an area God is saying, would you come back to me in this area? Would you come back to that place of trust in me, that place of grace, that place of provision? Would you come back to the simplicity of walking with me daily? Would you come back to the vows that you made to your wife in investing in your marriage? Would you come back? And right now, the enemy may be whispering to you lies. You know, it's too far gone. The return is going backwards. You know, if I return, it's like I'm going backwards. I'm too ashamed. I'm too old. Can I just say to you, they are the lies of the enemy. And this story, if anything, declares from the mountaintops, it's never too late. You're never too old. And there is no shame in returning to the goodness of God. What have you neglected in your world that God is saying, turn your attention to this again? You know, literally the minute Naomi returned, the minute Naomi decided to return, God began the turnaround in her life. Literally the minute she said, you know what, I will face the shame, I will ignore the lies of the enemy, I may feel right now like I'm too old, but the minute she made the return to the place of God's presence and provision, God acted to bring about a turnaround in your life. Is it an investment into your marriage that God is calling you to make this year, this decade, literally to return to the wife of your youth, to return to that husband that you've grown weary in doing good with? And God is saying, hey, would you invest again? And with that, can I just say, you may have seen on Live Update, we have a marriage seminar coming up. And it is going to be phenomenal. Mark and Nina are just weapons. They've been married for a very long time themselves. They're local church pastors in Queensland. And they've worked with many, many couples to bring about restoration. I really encourage you to... Is that my child? Probably. Probably. We're totally cool with this. We love the summer season. We love the kids being in with us. We have effectively toilet trained. I won't say which one because he just walked in. Keep praying for us, eh? Maybe it's a return to an intimate daily walk with God, or a return to dreams and prophetic words that were spoken over your life. You know, whatever it is, God is saying, it's time to return again to that area of your life. Naomi's return literally brought about fulfillment of prophecy because, of course, Jesus Christ comes from her lineage. As you return, God is orchestrating an unseen plan. You know, one part of this story that I absolutely love is in Ruth 2, verses 2 to 3. And Craig, you're welcome to come up. It says, and Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain. It was a cultural institution that the poor, and these women were absolutely destitute, make no mistake. There was no grand turn of fortune that instantly happened when she returned. They actually just used the culture's provision for the poor, and she was going to go and glean in the field to pick up the leftover grain left behind. So she went out. But lo and behold, Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out, entered a field, began to glean behind the harvesters. And as it turned out, she was working in the field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. And basically, it goes on to describe that he provided for her. He protected her in a very vulnerable state where she could have been harmed quite severely, gleaning as a poor woman in the field among men. He looked after her. He made sure that she had water, she had food. He put her with the women. And ultimately, he becomes her husband. Can I just say, you know, the minute you choose to return to something that the Holy Spirit is putting a highlighter pen through, you would be surprised as to what God is orchestrating for you in the unseen places. You know, he will guide your thinking. He will guide your actions, and you will find his provision potentially in the most unlikely places. Ruth may have thought, I'm coming home with a few stalks. Maybe we'll get a bit of grain out of this. Maybe we can roast something just to keep us alive for the next couple of days. You know, she may have felt shameful. Maybe she was dirty and had nothing but the clothes on her back. But here is God saying, you know what? You think you're going out to pick up the scraps of a broken decade? I've got so much more for you. You know, as you go out, as you make the choice to return, I have an unseen plan I am unfolding and orchestrating for you. I really believe that for the nation of Australia too. I believe God is not done with this nation. I believe God is orchestrating an incredible plan to bless the nation of Australia. I really believe that. And we may think that we're picking up the stalks of a broken crisis, but I truly and wholeheartedly believe that God is moving on our behalf, that what we'll see in the unseen places, God orchestrating a plan of provision for this nation. I truly believe it. You know, know, I love that little phrase, as it turned out. As it turned out, she went ahead with her plan and purpose and did what she felt was right, and it was a good thing to do. It was a custom that provided for her in a very natural way, but God added his supernatural to her natural decision. As it turned out, you know, I truly believe as we make a return to him, there's so many as it turned out for you in your life. There's an as it turned out in your relationship, and as it turned out in your workplace, and as it turned out for your decade. I truly believe that he'll get you there. He'll get you there. He's going to orchestrate your path. Make a return to him. You know, finally, I truly know with all my heart, God is calling us to believe for a beautiful beginning. You know, this story is so lovely, so tragic in so many ways and so real. I love the rawness of it, but there is beauty to some of the aspects of it. And it's an interesting thing that Naomi and Ruth actually return, and I think it's highly significant biblically that they actually return in the barley harvest, and it's spring. It's the time of hope. She's in pain and heartache, but God brings her back into the land of his provision in spring. And I truly believe that it's almost like God is crying from the rooftops in this story. You know, you are destitute. You may be laying in the pain of a previous decade, but I want to bring you into a springtime. I actually want to bring you into a harvest. I actually want to bring you into a time of a great purpose. And the story actually ends. It's incredibly beautiful. Literally, she walks straight into her purposes. And at the beginning, she's declaring, it's too late for me. There's no hope for me. It's bitter. I'm not going to have a son. I'm not going to get married again. And the story ends like this in chapter 4, verse 16. Because Ruth and Boaz end up getting married, Ruth ends up becoming pregnant and having a son. But it's interesting who raises the son. It says, then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. You know, she's declaring, it's too late for me. She's declaring at the beginning of the story, it's bitter for me, God's turned against me. When all along, God had a purpose for her life that actually involved, ironically, at her age, raising a son, because he becomes her son. It's a beautiful thing. Ruth gives this son to Naomi to raise, and they're an extended kinship structure in this home. And she raises someone in the lineage of Jesus Christ. You know, God has a new beginning for you in this decade that will shape the outcome of so much that you can't see yet. Do you know, there's some people here and you think, I've got nothing, God. And I just want to say to you, you have so much to give. You have so much to give that's going to affect the world in this next decade. You know, you need to resist the lie of the enemy that says, you know what, that's it for me. I've been at my peak. I've done the dash. It's it. You know, God has a new beginning for you. A brand new beginning for you, a beautiful beginning of operating not by fear anymore, but by faith, that even in catastrophe and crisis, that God will work out a beautiful new beginning for you and yours. You know, it's a God, I truly believe this New Year season, every year, it's like the breath of God saying, you know, this is a God-ordained season for a reset for you. Whatever came about in the last year, whatever thinking grew up in the last decade, whatever resulted in that relationship or this circumstance, God has ordained a season for a brand new reset for you, a brand new beginning. You know, perhaps you've come here today and you're visiting with us, you've come as a guest, maybe you've been here for a little while and you're checking out the things of God. One of the most incredibly powerful and life-changing decisions that you can make, you know, Naomi was at that crossroads of a decision in her own life. She knew God, but maybe you don't even know Jesus yet, and that is totally okay. You are in the right place to explore matters of faith. You know, the greatest decision we can make at the crossroads of a new year, a new decade, a new day really, is to actually come into relationship with Jesus Christ. And so this morning, it would just be so amiss of me to talk about new beginnings and not offer every person here the opportunity to say yes to knowing Jesus Christ. So in a moment, we're going to pray a prayer as a church. And the most beautiful thing about it is Naomi was super honest about the crossroads she was at. She was like honest about where she was at in her heart. I have no hope. I feel bitter. I feel like I've lost everything in life. You may not be there at that point, but maybe there's questions in your heart. I don't fully understand this God thing. All I know is I have a hole in my heart. I have an unanswered question about what is the meaning of life. I want to say today, it's Jesus Christ. He will make all things new in your life. Knowing Him, nothing compares to the power of knowing Him. And so we're going to pray, and it's literally a prayer away. It's just a decision. It's just a yes to God. It's not a whole lot of hoops to jump through. It's literally a yes. And just like Naomi made that decision to return, and God worked out the rest. He will work out the rest for you. Literally, it is coming into that decision today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, what I want to do this morning is we're going to pray a prayer saying yes to Jesus Christ, coming back to Him this morning. And if that's you, you pray it as well. Pray it from your heart. God will hear. He will know that you've prayed that prayer, and He will come into your life this morning, and it will be a new beginning for you. Dear Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I open my heart to you. Would you come into my life? Would you wash me, make me clean, take the weight of sin off me? Thank you that I'll never walk alone again. You're with me. I say yes to you this morning. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you this morning, you need to come back to Him this morning. You need to say yes to Him, maybe even for the first time. In a moment, I'm going to get you to raise your hand. And the reason I do that, it's just me and one or two other trusted leaders that will have their eyes open to see. It's a private moment in a very public space. But it just allows me to know who made that decision this morning so I can pray a prayer of blessing over you, that God would literally move on your behalf and literally work out the circumstances of your life as you get to know Him. So in a moment, I'm going to get you to raise your hand. So if that's you this morning, you're coming back to Him at the beginning of this decade, or maybe getting to know Him for the very first time, saying yes to Jesus for the first time. If that's you, would you quickly lift up your hand for me to see so I can pray a prayer of blessing? Literally every single week, we have people just like you that say yes to Jesus Christ. Is there anyone this morning? Thank you for that hand. Amazing. Is there anybody else that wants to join that young man this morning and saying yes to Jesus Christ? The beginning of a new decade. I want to get my life right with you, God. Is there anybody else? Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much for that hand. Is there anyone else this morning? I just want to just feel really to hold just for one more minute. Is there anyone else? And you don't want to enter this decade without being made right with God. Is there anybody else? And you're like, yeah, I need to come back to Jesus this morning. Thank you, God. God, I just declare your blessing and favor over those individuals today, God. I just thank you, God, in coming back to you. God, it's not a works thing. They don't have to work it out. Literally, you have received them back this morning with open arms. You love them, God. You have a purpose for their life. And Lord, I declare your purposes over their life in Jesus' name. I declare, God, that you have a good purpose, God. I just see a turnaround happening, God, in their lives. I just see a turnaround of difficult circumstances, God, that you want to work in and work it out for their good. I thank you that you promised to do that. Be with them in Jesus' name. And Lord, for everybody else, God, that needs to know, God, that they can leave what was in the last decade behind, that they can return to you in areas, God, and they can trust you for a brand new beginning. I just declare your goodness and favor over the people of Horizon Church as we move into the 2020s. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.